come from a family of 13 raised on Cabbage Tree Island, which is an island in the middle of the Richmond River between Broadwater and Wardell. And we were all, as a family, kept together because my mother sort of protected us from being taken away by the welfare. There was always that fear there. And then my little brother was drowned on Cabbage Tree Island. I didn't say this yesterday, Joe, but that was when my family moved to Sydney after that. And my sister and me worked as domestics at Vaucluse. I met my husband and got married in Sydney, and my sister did the same. When the family lived in Sydney, my sister's children were removed. My sister's five children were removed by the department.
So how old were they?
I'd say 6 years old and under.
Were they all taken at one in one go?
Yes.
How horrific.
Yes, sorry.
How did your sister cope with that?
My sister never recovered from that. You know, at the time, my sister lived in Balmain. They bought a house. Her partner had received some compensation for an accident in the factory where he worked. They purchased a house in Balmain. They had a brand new car. When the kids were taken away, she sort of had given up all hope and wandered around the countryside, I guess, and died age 36 of a broken heart, among other things, rather than go into detail, you know, about her life. Her kids, she never saw her kids once they were removed. She'd made several attempts.
How did your family recover from that terrible, terrible blow? You lost your nieces and nephews, and you lost your sister.
Well, we never forgot those kids. Those kids are always a part of our life. We always talked about the kids, you know, at family gatherings and Christmas time and whatever. We never, ever forgot those kids, but those kids were all fostered out in different parts of New South Wales. They didn't know of each other, let alone us. You know, they knew nothing of us, their natural family. I got a job in docks in 1978 as an Aboriginal caseworker. And for the first time since those kids were removed, I had access to information. There was a file in the docs office in Lismore where I worked on my sister. And I had access to information about their whereabouts. And I couldn't go back and tell my sister. I wanted to go and tell my sister I found out where your kids were, but I couldn't do that because I was working in docks. You know, I'm bound by confidentiality and red tape. But I used to think that we should drive past the school up in the Blue Mountains where I knew the eldest one was going to school and just drive past us. Maybe we can see her in the playground, see what she looked like, you know? And then the placement had broken down when the girl became a certain age and she started to what the department used to refer to as identity crisis, experience an identity crisis and ask questions about who she was. This is just the eldest child of all the kids that had been removed. And I had organised, or the department had organised for her to come and meet the family. Oh, this was the one that did meet up with her mother, sorry. You'll have to edit this, Joe.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I think what I did say yesterday was that when I'd organised for her, the department had organised for her to come home, I was all excited and at the airport waiting for her to come off the plane over at Casino at the time when the planes used to land in Casino when the airport was there. And I was waiting for her to come off the plane, so excited. At last we can meet one of the kids that had been taken away. And I expected that she'd come off the plane, give me a big cuddle, you know, and whatever. And she looked at me like, who are you? I don't know you. And that hurt. That hurt bad. But that was just the start of it. I think the example that I gave yesterday was her and her children. She went on to have four children who in turn had been removed from her. She hadn't read any of those four children up. Her third daughter, my sister's grandchild, was Charlene. Charlene had had four children who had all been removed from her. Charlene's three youngest children, actually, she had twins. They're only 2-year-old. We'd managed to have them placed with family members. She's since had another baby who would be 1-year-old, is placed with a non-Aboriginal family in Sydney in foster care. Charlene herself is on the streets in Sydney on drugs because she can't handle the pain. With her last three children, she tried to do everything that the department had asked of her so that she'd at least be able to rear these three kids up, the twins and the new baby. The docs had removed them from her, so she's given up hope. As my sister had given up hope when her kids were removed, as Charlene's mother had given up hope.
Do you think the broader community has any concept of the impact that the Stolen Generations has had down the lines on successive families?
No, of course not. They just see people as being hopeless drug addicts, like Charlene. Take Charlene, for instance. Charlene is my sister's granddaughter, aged 24 or something, who I just, you know, gave the example of her kids being removed and her mother's four kids being removed and my sister's five kids being removed. People just see them as alcoholics. They're just drunks or they're just drug addicts. People would look at Charlene now and they wouldn't know the pain she is suffering. They'd see her as a drug addict on the streets in Sydney. And I guess that's how the people in the community would look at her. People don't understand. Even other blacks don't understand. You know, when my sister's kids came home, one of the girls got a place in Ballina, one of my sister's daughters who had been removed and read up on the Central Coast. She came home and got a place in Ballina, and she enrolled for a course in TAFE in Ballina and furnished this little unit. And she just wanted to get to know her people and be their friend. And some of the men in the community, she got pack raped. Or some of the men in the community. You know, she'd invited people to her place so she can get to know them. She walked out. She walked out on the highway and hitched a ride with a truck driver and never come back. And she's out there trying to get on with her life with her two little girls. I spent a lot of time with her. Through freedom of information, she had access to her doc's file. She said to me, Aunt, would you sit with me and go through this file? She'd photocopied some relevant stuff, to, you know, that she felt. And we sat and we read and I explained stuff to her because there were things written there about our family that was not how it really was. what hurt her the most was a statement there where a mother must have approached the doc's office and wanted to have a visit with her. And, the practice of the day was that the doc's office would go and approach the foster mum and ask the foster mum's permission if it would be okay for this girl to meet with a natural mother. And the foster mother had said, no, it's not in the best interest of the kid, it would upset the kid. And docs went along with that. So my sister never got to meet this girl. But the foster mother all the years had told this girl that your mother doesn't care about you. She doesn't want to meet you because your Aboriginal family don't love you. They don't care about you. And that was not the case.
I suppose when you're talking about something as that words simply aren't sufficient to describe the devastation of the impact on families, anything is going to be too little too late. But this is an opportunity for the New South Wales government to do what it can. Having worked in government yourself, having, been a leader within the local Aboriginal community, can you see things that you would like to see done, in our region, in the Northern Rivers, that would actively help people who are still suffering from these dreadful policies?
And, I'm constantly asking the question about solutions. How do we fix this problem? Or what do we do to deal with this issue? Can I just finish by saying what I did say yesterday was that I'd given this whole issue a lot of thought, looking for answers, and found that my mother had been reared by her father's family. Her mother didn't rear her up. She left her with her father's family and was reared by her father and her grandparents. And we found that her mother, when we'd done a family history, family tree, her mother had been removed from her community and raised in an orphanage in Brisbane. She was supposedly from Normanton up in Queensland, in the Gulf Country. And we can only go back to 1905 in that orphanage when she was 5 years of age. Mm. And it's just sort of kind of like history repeating itself.